So we'll come to God's Word in just a few minutes. One thing that I like is self-deprecating stories. I'm not very good at them, but think about it. And I was thinking this week that one thing that I've never done, probably in the whole of my life, is to build anything. Another thing I've never done is probably to mend anything. And if anything does get broken, I've got two tactics. Number one, I see if there is an on-off switch. If there is, I switch it off. Wait for about a minute, switch it on again. This sometimes works. It does with the sometimes with the church photocopier. Although Tom's told me another tactic is if you just give it a kick, that works as well. It works with my Skybox at home, also my computer. The second tactic I have if something doesn't work, and I don't recommend this, is I just ignore it. There is, for the last 8.5 years in our camper van on the dashboard, a little red light. I've checked the instruction manual. It says in it, go to a garage immediately. But I've been driving for 8.5 years. No garage can find anything wrong. So I just carry on regardless. When it comes to site redevelopment, the building and rebuilding and repairing of this whole site here. Since 1872, the bricks and mortar of this church have been here. 5 years before that, 1867, the hall over there. This has been a parish. When it comes to the buildings and their repair, I have to confess that I have done what I've done with the red lights on the camper van and tried to ignore it. Buildings, not my thing. But here is a prayer that I read in the Word of God. I'm going to invite us to read it together. It's for me, it's for you, it's for any domain of life. That if God calls you to something, you do not need to be self-deprecating. It is a wise thing not to ignore it if it is God's call, because he equips those who he calls. And this is his promise. It's in a prayer of a man of God to the church of God at Ephesus. And it's from the Word of God, which is the heart of God, claiming this promise. Let us do it together. If you can't read the screen, would you like to receive this prayer from Ephesians 1? I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So this is the prayer over some years of God's church here for his wisdom and revelation about our site redevelopment. Now, this may be news to you because you've never heard that phrase before. Or if you have, you certainly haven't heard it talked about recently, because we haven't, or we haven't talked about it clearly, but it's not news to God, who loves this place and wants to use it for his best purposes and give me, give our site development team, who do know a lot more about buildings and mending stuff than I do, and who, like me, also love Jesus and long for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. This is what we need. And today we've called this, not just a little clever play on words, but because this is what we need. The answer to Paul's prayer that our eyes are enlightened, that our sight is developed. He wants to do it for you, for every person who is a follower of Jesus, who is one of all saints across the globe, to change their eyes, to do a sight development. Just as he did in a man called Nehemiah. He is an inspiration from God's words to us in this church. He did a site, S-I-T-E, development project 400 years before Jesus. And the same reasons that he was called to do that are reasons that inform us at All Saints Peckham. Now, no sermon or talk could answer every question, certainly not from me, because I probably don't know the answers. But what we are looking at tonight from Nehemiah's example and what God did through him are two reasons God called him to rebuild and why he's calling us to rebuild. We're looking at the why he's calling us in 2019 to do that. And we're also looking at what he also faced. There were some elephants in the room for Nehemiah. Here's a couple of them. It so happens that they're the same for us. Like questions that maybe people feel too polite to ask, but are there. Number one, haven't we been here before? You might have never heard of this, but some members of this church have been thinking and talking about it for quite a long time. That was true in Nehemiah's day. A man called Ezra, in the book before Nehemiah, he had led a site development project that hadn't got off the ground. Number two, elephant in the room, can we really afford to do this? Can we do it? It doesn't seem that likely. Number three, can't we just leave everything as it is? We'll be looking at them. I think it's Amy is going to read from page 485 in the Church Bibles. If you can see one, would you like to turn to it? Nehemiah chapter 1.
The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, "O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed your commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man.' I was a cupbearer to the king."
Thank you very much. So any building project begins, as Nehemiah's does, by seeing where things are at. And that's what God helps Nehemiah to do. And he starts seeing through God's eyes. He's in a palace in Susa. This is 800 miles away from God's promised land for his people. But his people, about a century before this, have been conquered, overthrown by the Babylonian Empire, deported off into exile. Nehemiah's one of them. And he hears how things are going back home. He still regards Jerusalem and Israel as his home. And it's not a happy story. Jerusalem has become a ghost town. Its walls are in ruins, and its people, if you look at verse 2, how are they described? And then again in verse 3, what does it say? They are survivors. And Nehemiah is overcome with sorrow at what has happened. He sees who God intends them to be, which is, who is, more than conquerors. God has conquered for them this promised land. That was his purpose. But now there are few exiles who are survivors, not conquerors at all, cowering behind broken walls. And nobody else seems to have noticed, but God opens the eyes, he enlightens the eyes of Nehemiah's heart, as he wants to do for you in any domain in life, including this site here. He opens Nehemiah's heart, his eyes, to what he intends to do, what all his purposes are for his people, and the place where they are called to live, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, you might know, had a special significance. Look at verse 9. Nehemiah knows this significance. It was the place that God chose in the Old Testament as a dwelling for my name. It was the place that was meant to reflect all of God's glory. And this is what Nehemiah knows about his glory. Look at verse 5. The Lord, the God of glory, is the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who obey his commands. But you see, God's people haven't kept his commands. And the state of the walls are now like a reflection, a symbolic of their spiritual state. But what the walls and what the whole of Jerusalem is meant to be is this: awesomely sacramental. What on earth does that mean? A sacrament is a sign. A sacrament is a sign, a practical sign, of something of the character of God. Holy Communion is a sign, bread and wine, as a sign of God's awesomeness. Now, I don't know if you use the word awesome a lot. I hear it a lot. A cup of tea can be, oh, that'd be awesome. An invitation out to the cinema, to the theater, oh, that would be awesome. Kind of trips off the tongue. But the original word in the Hebrew, which I don't speak, but which I've looked up, is a word that's very rarely used. It's used in God's word, applying to God. If you're interested, it's vihanora. It's an awesome word describing an awesome thing, namely an awesome God who isn't a thing, but a person who's alive and well. Deuteronomy 10:17 speaks of the vihanora God. And Jerusalem and all of God's people are meant to be a vihanora people, awesome signs of who God is. The God who is awesome in his care for the widow and the fatherless, says in Deuteronomy 10:17, who's awesome in his provision for the alien, who's awesome in his choosing of his people, who's vihanora in all his ways. Now, in 2019, in Peckham, it's not Jerusalem that God's chosen as a dwelling for his name. Now, God lives, thanks to Jesus, in you and me, in anyone who gives their life to Jesus and obeys his ways. But this place where we are tonight, where you can come every Sunday night, and indeed at many other times, this is a place of worship where we are meant to meet the great and awesome Vihanora God, whose bricks and mortar in the whole of this site are meant to be awesomely sacramental. And much as we, if you're like me, you love this church. Some people here tonight have worshipped here and cleaned here and cared for here and hoovered here and looked after here for decades because we are love here. But here's the thing. It's a site, if you know it, S-I-T, that doesn't really work. On Sunday mornings, over 100 young people who are the church of the day, they meet here in places that truly are not that awesome. If you go outside, as at the end of this talk, in a few minutes' time, I'm going to invite anybody to go on a prayer walk just through that door along there. If you go on that prayer walk, you'll see something that, well, it really isn't that awesome. And it really isn't a sacramental sign of God at all. In case you don't want to do that, I'll take you on a walk there. Roger, I forgot to mention this, sorry. But there's a video on the drive. Let's see if it works. Because outside, 7.3 million people last year went in and out of Peckham Rye Station. Many of them pass this church. And we know from what they've said that they assume that it's closing down. And here's the reason. You've probably seen this, but let your eyes be enlightened to what it's actually saying. If you'd never been inside the walls, what many people think and what it seems to be saying is, you're closing down. That's what being boarded up usually means. And there's a good reason for these boards, because the walls, which are just behind them, started to crumble like a lot of other bits of this building. It's one reason why we can't do nothing, why we're seeking God's wisdom and revelation for what we do need to do, but doing nothing isn't an option. Because like the walls, they're actually falling down. And what was happening the last two summers is that people were drinking and doing a lot worse stuff until 2, 3 a.m., causing great mayhem and distress to everyone who lived nearby and also to the police. It wasn't a sign of an awesome God at all. And our site's redevelopment team are thinking a lot more than just about the walls, but using the walls outside as one example, there's something that needs to be done, that they can be awesomely sacramental, a sign of the God who's alive and well and worshiping all to be saints inside the bricks and mortar here. The second reason, why Nehemiah was called to his site development project, same reason why we are, is for awesomely practical reasons. Jerusalem's walls weren't only meant to be a sign of God being alive and well. They were also meant to do some very practical things. They're meant to keep enemies out. Walls served as a protection. The walls of Jerusalem Nehemiah was going to build were going to be a practical fulfillment of God's promise that he's our fortress. They served to give confidence to the people who live behind them. In 400 BC, if you lived behind a ruin, you lived your life in fear, but they were meant to be a sign, a very practical fulfillment of the God who promises to cast out fear, because he is, Psalm 18:2, our rescuer. And they were, as they were being rebuilt, meant to be a sign that the promise of the joy of the Lord was his people's strength. And Jerusalem, the holy city, became a place of joy when they'd finished. You see, God opened the eyes of their hearts. He enlightened their eyes, beginning with Nehemiah, to do a great rebuilding work. And it's exactly the same two reasons that God's calling us into the same thing. This week, as we start Lent, as we've heard, We begin our 96 hours of prayer on Ash Wednesday. And one thing that we're inviting people to ask God at that service on Ash Wednesday, if all of God's purposes here are fulfilled. And what we'll be doing in the service is the same thing that Nehemiah did in his prayer of repentance. He brought to God, can you see it, verse 6, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. Bringing the rubble, the spiritual rubble, of which the literal rubble of Jerusalem's walls was a sign, to God. Giving him every way that we've fallen short of the Vianora God, who's got awesome purposes. And on Thursday at our worship night, we're doing what Nehemiah did, which was to move on because God is faithful. He does forgive. And we're praising and honoring him. The worship night is every first Thursday of the month, 8 o'clock. Doing what God calls this place to be used for. Since 1872. Since Bishop Sam Wilberforce, you heard of him? He was the brother of William Wilberforce, consecrated this place for the purpose of giving God all the praise and glory. Because this is who God, the awesomely practical God, has always called us to practically be, a place that doesn't look like this. A place that's just not cared for, whose walls are falling down. But instead, he calls us to be saints. This is our foundation. This is the title God gives to his people. He gave it to the people who are cowering behind those broken down walls. He gives the name saints to you and to me, because that's who you are. If Jesus and his saintliness of his Holy Spirit is filling you, you're called as a foundation. I am called as my foundation, the rock on which I build, to be a saint. And that's an invitation to everyone, to all. In our vision, we say that it's all reflecting the radical diversity in the kingdom of God. People from every nation and every generation and every financial situation and every education you come from, you can be a saint because of Jesus. You can be an awesome sign that you're meant to be because of Jesus. And our sight here isn't meant to be like a holy huddle, a thing that makes us feel a bit better. But in the first, it's called a feasibility study. A phrase I never heard of before, but it means what an architect draws up for plans and dreams. What our feasibility study that we're now working on originally said, our walls are meant to be perforated. In other words, walls where people can easily come through and into and easily go out into Peckham and beyond, where God is calling us, his people, to bring his awesome message and love to. It's why we've commissioned a study to find out what's going on around us in Peckham and what's planned in the local community that God has planted us in. God is calling all to be saints in the world, in Peckham and beyond. And anything we build or rebuild on this site has got to be for that purpose, which is his purpose. The glorious purpose of the awesomely practical God. So I finish with this. It is a great question. It's a necessary question. Can't we just do nothing? We're pretty comfortable tonight. Can't we just stay as we are? If we did, these walls would become like that wall out there. And though we love it and care for it, as I said, it needs more than just TLC to keep this place the place it's been before. Another thing is, Nehemiah faced, haven't we been here before? In the last years, It would have been great if God had raised up another Nehemiah to take us forward really quickly. But even if that had been the case, it's only just this year that the land next to this church was finally bought by us. A guy called Nick Bull started that process, I think it was in 2015. It took a long, long time for that to happen. We've just received money, £22,000. We thank God for it. To do something that's great and awesome with a designer from this church who loves Jesus along the wall out there. We thank God for the site development team who are working on the feasibility study. And next Sunday, and then the Wednesday after that, we're holding our forums to get your perspectives that might be more informed than that of a vicar who's never built anything. Tom is our ops director, and in case you don't know him, I'm going to show you his face and ask him what, Tom, as our ops director, are we doing at our forum next Sunday and then the following Wednesday, and we're going to be having other ones after that.
Okay, so just kind of really sum it up. It's when you have a Sunday like this, we can only talk about kind of the highlights and the kind of high levels. But I'm conscious there are so many questions about details, about specifics, about dates and timelines and just all the bits behind the scenes. And the forum is an opportunity for that. It's going to be run as a kind of a panel of the majority of the site development team. There's going to be a bit of a presentation and then a question and answer session. So if you do have any thoughts or anything you really want to ask, please do come along. And please can everybody who is not open to just those who've got a passion for buildings, it's open to everyone. We need all the different views there. So please do come along. If you can't make it on the Sunday and Wednesday, I also just want to stress that I'm very happy to meet at any time. Just drop me an email, tom@allsaintspeckham.org.uk, and I can, I'll catch up with you and go through what the plans and hopes and dreams are.
Thanks, Tom. So I'll finish with this. If you are walking in the countryside and you came across these walls, what would cross your mind? It's a rhetorical question, and I'm just going to guess what would cross my mind. I wonder if it'd be true for you. I would assume that the landowner, whoever they were, was absent or deceased, impoverished, certainly didn't care because there's a real mess on their land. I'd assume there was no purpose for these walls because they're totally broken down, and I'd assume there's nothing and no one valuable who they're meant to be protecting. God is not absent. He's not impoverished. He's not uncaring. He definitely isn't deceased. And he wants to express all he is in all his Vienora majesty in your life and in mine and in all the places where his people meet, including this one. He wants to develop your sight, to enlighten the eyes of your heart. And that's what we're going to sing as a prayer now. It's what God by his Spirit wants to do. And then as we go into a short time of worship and during this song, take a collection, if that is the way you give financially to this church. That is the way you give, we'll take a collection during this song. But then after it, anyone who wants to is invited to go on that short prayer walk. This morning, some people did that, going out through this door and just along the wall. And as you go along it, I invite you to ask God to open the eyes of your heart and ask him what he is saying to you about this place. And to write it down on a little post-it note, which we'll give you. And to put it on the cross as people did this morning. Because we want to hear everything that God is saying. And just as well that was the case for Jerusalem's walls, God wants everybody who's one of his people here to be involved in the rebuilding of them and in the giving towards them. Would you please stand with me? Father God, in every domain of our lives, we need your wisdom and your revelation. And I, as one of your church, and others here tonight with me, echo in our heart the prayer that we need you to enlighten our eyes, to give us your wisdom, to show us how you want to express your awesome character in our lives and in the life of your church here, and how you want to express and fulfill all your awesome purposes through us and through your church here, through the bricks and mortar here. Would you help us to change our sight so we change this sight, these buildings, to be all you want them to be. Lord, open the eyes of our hearts, we pray.